This is All India Radio's 107.1 FM Rainbow. Welcome to our brand new show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's show is hosted by Vikash Mitar Sen, Honorary Consul of the Republic of Mali, in conversation with His Excellency, Mr. Jerry Kelly, Consul General, Consulate General of Ireland.
Welcome to my new radio program. Today we have with us His Excellency Jerry Kelly, Consul General of Ireland. Welcome to All India Radio, Mr. Kelly.
Thank you, Vikas. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, as far as I know and I understand, this is not your first stint in India.
No, I was previously Deputy Ambassador at our embassy in New Delhi from 2012 to 2016. Okay. I then went on to another posting with the UN in New York. Then this year we decided to open a new consulate in Mumbai, first time ever. So I was asked to return to India to open this office. I think we decided we would like somebody with some experience of India to open the new office. So I was very happy.
Right. You're the right perfect guy for that.
Yeah, so very happy to have the opportunity to return to India.
Happy to have you here. I wasn't aware that there was no consulate office here.
No, we
Ireland earlier.
We had an honorary consul like yourself, Cyrus Guzder, who served us very...
Yes, I remember his writing.
Yes.
And I'm no longer going to be, I've been kicked out or something, he said.
Well, he was happy to retire, but he had served us for 16 years in the role. And of course, we couldn't replace him with another honorary consul. We had to open a full-time career consulate with staff from Ireland. So
he would have carried on otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm
dear listeners, you are still tuned into our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is His Excellency Mr. Jerry Kelly, Consul General, Consulate General of Ireland, in conversation with Vikash Mitter Sen, Honorary Consul of the Republic of Mali.
Welcome to my new radio program. Today we have with us His Excellency Jerry Kelly, Consul General of Ireland. Tell us about your stay in Delhi. How was it? And good time to be a consul or an ambassador in Delhi?
Well, I think India is a fascinating country. Uh-huh. And I think it's always going to be an interesting place to live and work. Yes. One of the questions I get asked very, very regularly since we moved to Mumbai mm-hmm. is when people learn that myself and my family previously lived in Delhi, yes. I always get asked about the differences and the contrast okay. and which city do you prefer? And my answer is a little complicated.
Okay.
Because Delhi, we moved into a long established embassy. Our embassy has been there for over 50 years.
Okay.
So you walked into embassy that's up and running, has very good staff.
Yes.
Everything's well defined. Your job is defined in dealing with the government. Whereas arriving here,
you had to set up the whole thing.
I set up the whole thing, no staff. Yeah. Oh, I got off the plane with a laptop and went to work. So,
okay.
But you get to define your own role. And of course, the cities are different. New Delhi, it's obviously a lot of government-to-government work.
Yes.
Here, it's a lot more fluid. There's some business, there's some culture, greatly. There's some government. Yes. Probably a little more variety. And I think after almost a year in Mumbai, I would have to say the quality of life here is probably a little better.
Yeah.
The definitely. Pollution in Delhi is obviously a big issue.
Off late, it's got even much worse.
Yeah. I mean, there's some issues with pollution in Mumbai from time to time, but it's
not
obviously
really,
not the same
not really
level.
That bad.
The most challenging thing here is the traffic.
Oh, yeah. So it's a different sort of pollution.
Yeah.
It's a road pollution.
Exactly. But no, I think Mumbai is a very, very vibrant city. There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening in terms of arts, in terms of culture, in terms of business. It's very easy to meet people. There's a lot to do in the evening. My family's very happy here. Yeah. So I think after a year here, we're very settled.
The next thing, I suppose, is after a few years, you'll come back to Delhi as the ambassador. Do you have that in mind, and would you like that to happen?
In our system, it's very unusual to be posted to the same country twice. So I think three times might break our systems.
How old are your children then? What schools do they go to?
They all go to the American school.
Okay.
Four daughters, aged 15, 12, 9, and 5.
Four daughters.
Yeah, and the five-year-old was actually born here in India, Delhi. So she's going to tie us to this country forever.
Does she get the option to have an Indian passport in addition to your Irish one?
Not as far.
Is there a system like that?
Not as far as I'm aware.
She's born here.
True, but I think the fact that we were diplomats when she was born doesn't let her qualify. But maybe it's something she might want to explore in years to come, an OCI or something.
Oh, yeah. But she's young yet, so she has time to decide.
Yeah.
Did you tell me about Ireland, or we had to come to that?
No, we were just coming to that.
Yeah.
I think the first thing I always tell people in India is to explain the difference in scale. In India, everything's big. Population's big. Distances are big. In Ireland, we are a small country. Our population is around 5 million. We joke that more people take the train in Mumbai every day than live in Ireland. You could drive across Ireland in under 3 hours at the shortest, narrowest point, which, again, you can spend 3 hours driving in Mumbai without getting very far.
Yes. But sometimes you just sit in the car for 3 hours also when things really get locked up.
Often I find people in India and in other parts of the world think Ireland is much bigger.
Yes.
Because footprint around the world is very big.
Yes.
Irish people, like Indians,
have emigrated all
over the world.
I mean, especially in USA, they are in really top positions.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm forgetting the names, but I know some of them are really way up there in US.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's 1 in 7 people in the US claim some form of Irish heritage going back generations.
Oh.
So that gives the impression that maybe we're much bigger than we are. But Irish people do travel and do emigrate everywhere. Even in India, we see footprints.
Are there many here?
From previous, not a huge amount at the moment, actually. It's unusual. But in previous generations, you would have had a lot of Irish educators in India.
Okay.
So after independence, a lot of Irish religious orders set up schools in India.
Okay.
So you have a lot of very famous schools like St. Joseph's in Nainital, Mount Abu in Rajasthan, the Loreto orders, the Presentation orders.
So these have been set up by the Irish priests, the religious order.
Yeah. And while there's very few of the priests and nuns remaining, the schools remain as their legacy here in India.
Okay.
Listeners, you are still tuned into our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is His Excellency, Mr. Jerry Kelly, Consul General, Consulate General of Ireland, in conversation with Vikash Mitter Sen, Honorary Consul of the Republic of Mali.
Welcome to my new radio program. Today we have with us His Excellency Gerry Kelly, Consul General of Ireland. We are just beginning to know about Ireland, so please tell me more. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
What I would like to know, a specific thing, is the economy based on tourism or is there industry? What is the backbone of the economy of Ireland?
Our economy is very diverse. Tourism probably accounts for around 5%, 6% of the economy.
That's it. So it's not all that much.
It's significant. It's several hundred million every year.
Okay.
We get around 10 million visitors a year.
Oh, that's not
bad. Which for a population of 5 million,
yeah.
It's twice your population.
So you have a lot of floating population all the time.
Yeah. But our big industry is agriculture. While not being anything like significant as it was 50 years ago, is still maybe 10, 12% of our economy. Pharmaceutical and medical devices is a big part of our physical exports as well. That are manufactured in Ireland. Mm. But services are the real employer and driver of GDP. So you have a lot of business services, a lot of education, a lot of IT. We've successfully attracted over the last 50, 60 years, most of the largest IT companies in the world to have their European bases in Ireland. So Apple, Microsoft,
is that
Google,
due to taxes?
Facebook.
Taxes or availability of the right manpower?
It's a mixture. Tax was probably part of the attraction that made these companies look at Ireland in the first place.
Yes.
But none of these companies really stay for tax purposes.
Oh, yeah.
All these companies employ tens of thousands of people in Ireland.
Yes.
So they're not brass plates.
Yes.
And their operations are quite high value. It's research, it's R&D, it's marketing, it's innovation, software development. So they are real jobs.
And they're all high paying jobs.
Exactly. And the fact that we're a member of the European Union, have been for 46 years and will continue to be, means that these companies can attract talent, not just from Ireland, where we have a very highly educated young workforce, which obviously is a big part of the attraction, but anybody in Europe can come and live in Ireland because we're part of the European Union. So these companies can attract the best Spanish speakers, the best French speakers, the best German speakers.
All right.
So a lot of if you go into Microsoft or Google or Facebook in Dublin, you will find a lot of different nationalities, including Indian, because Ireland and Dublin's really become a hub for these industries and we attract people from all around the world to work in Ireland.
Won't leave the girls
back, dear listeners. You are still tuned into our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is His Excellency, Mr. Jerry Kelly, Consul General, Consulate General of Ireland, in conversation with Vikash Mitter Sen, Honorary Consul of the Republic of Mali.
Welcome to my new radio program. Today we have with us His Excellency Jerry Kelly, Consul General of Ireland. I'm still a bit confused about Ireland, geographically, and is it part of the UK or not?
No, we're not. We've actually been independent longer than India. But on the island of Ireland, yes, you have two jurisdictions. Yes. You have the, yes, Republic of Ireland, yes, which is the country we refer to as Ireland.
Yes.
But the northeast corner of Ireland is Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And that remains part of the UK.
Okay.
So when we became independent, Britain partitioned Ireland.
Yes. Well, why did they do that?
It was the same idea that the partition Indian of India, Pakistan, the same logic,
so
behind the partition.
Were they two different groups?
Two different religions, yes.
Oh, okay.
And they felt that
it's one better this way.
Yeah, and we can have a long argument about whether, yes, that was a good idea, yes, in the same way you can have a long argument about Indian partition.
Yes. Yes.
But it's one of those interesting historical correlations that certain British colonial era policies that were carried out in India were trialed in Ireland.
Yes.
Because for centuries we were, okay, ruled from London.
Yep.
As part of the empire, and, yes, we have that colonial experience similar to India. We do see similarities in some of the policies that we suffered from centuries ago, that India had similar experiences.
So there's not going to be much impact on your country as far as Brexit is concerned.
We're very concerned about Brexit. We do feel that there could be a very negative economic impact, because one of the successes of the European Union has been the way that all the economies across Europe are integrated, that we have tariff-free, customs-free,
yes,
trade.
Yes.
And while our economy is a lot more diverse and a lot less dependent on the UK than it used to be, before we joined the EU in the 70s, I think something like 75% or 80% of our exports went to Britain. Now it's around 11%. So it's
I mean, at most it may become 8%.
Yeah.
But it's not really going to have a huge impact.
It'll have overstated impact in certain areas. For example, our food and agriculture businesses,
yes, yes,
they largely export to the UK.
Okay.
But a lot, yeah, of these businesses also have a lot of their supply chain in the UK or Northern Ireland. And that's where actually the real disruption.
Right.
I mean, the classic example we give is a pint of Guinness beer.
Yeah, okay.
Guinness is our most famous beer,
yes, of
known
course,
around
the world.
World
knows it.
But the pint of Guinness beer you will get in a pub in Dublin has probably crossed the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland four times.
Okay.
Between the barley being grown,
yes,
it being harvested, it being going across the border to be milled,
yes,
or to be malted or refined.
Yes.
And then maybe it's brewed somewhere else and bottled somewhere else and packaged somewhere else.
And come back and then
so
get exported.
That's the real concern, that,
yes,
if the UK leaves in the EU in a disorderly fashion,
yes,
without putting in arrangements to continue customs-free and tax-free transit of goods between, particularly between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
It's such a
mess. It
can
be very, very messy.
Right now. I remember when this whole idea came about on Brexit. You know, I write a lot on Facebook. I gave you a book on Facebook also.
Yes, you did indeed.
You'll find my quote there. When it did happen, and there were three people involved. Mr. Farage, what was his name?
Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage, our present Prime Minister in UK,
Boris Johnson.
And then one more, Mr. Cameron.
Yes.
So just before the elections, they announced this, the referendum. They never expected it to say yes,
no,
leave.
They hadn't
they
planned
They never
at all,
planned, that's... so they all left because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, two of them are back.
Yeah.
And they're still insisting, in my opinion, and I wrote that time, and I write that several times, you need to have one more referendum. Because the people have understood. Now, the common man, it was a silly mistake. They can't do without EU.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously it's a matter for the UK people what they want to do.
Yes.
But as their neighbour, we would hope that whatever decision and action,
yes,
they take, they do so in a orderly fashion that takes into account the many, many impacts. I mean,
yeah,
there is, we do hear an argument that there could be a benefit to Ireland from Brexit with companies,
uh-huh,
moving out of the UK
and
to Ireland
this,
to maintain access to the European Union.
Yes.
So we are seeing some of that, including from some Indian companies who would be,
yes,
interested in making Ireland their European base. So, but I don't know that that will outweigh the potential
downside. It would have,
downside.
Because it's also a matter of language.
Yes. That's
anywhere else. Indians are the most comfortable with English language. For them to go into Europe, they always will need to know the one of the European languages, which is not so simple.
We see that. We have a growing Indian population in Ireland. Yes. We attract around 5,000 students a year from India to Ireland to study. We have a very generous visa system, a stay back. So on graduation, students can remain in Ireland for up to 2 years to start their career without needing a further visa. So that's very attractive. We've around 20 Indian companies have operations, including the likes of Wipro and HCL, Mahindra, JLR. So we've a growing awareness of Ireland for Indian business, and really interesting conversations happening about Indian businesses making Ireland their bridgehead into Europe.
So Ireland is a peaceful place.
Yes.
It's not like the other Northern Ireland.
No, no. I mean,
where there used to be all these separatist situations all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously had some impact, but the peace agreement 20 years ago has led to a lot of much calmer, much more stable situation.
Yes.
And effectively means there was no border for the last 20 years with freedom of movement. And that's one of the concerns of Brexit as well. If the UK leaves in a disorderly fashion, it could mean the reimposition of a border on the island of Ireland, which could trigger unrest again, which nobody wants, obviously.
So I'm not going on to that side because it becomes political. But you being what you are, I've been told that Ireland or Northern Ireland and Scotland are likely to leave if Brexit happens. The connection with the UK, they want to separate and get into Europe.
There's a lot of speculation about that.
You need not tell me if you don't want to say about it, but I'm okay.
No, I mean, it is part of the political discourse in Ireland.
Yes.
There are nationalist parties in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland whose long-stated ambition is to have a united Ireland. And they see Brexit as strengthening their argument.
The trigger to that.
And the peace agreement in Northern Ireland 20 years ago provides for a constitutional route for that to happen.
Oh, okay.
Through a referendum, it requires the consent of the majority of the people in Northern Ireland. So any change will absolutely have to require the consent of the majority. And
that's
at the moment, the majority see themselves as British.
It was Christmas Eve, babe. Drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold. Through the windows right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the jokes they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
Dripping that boat.
You scumbag, you maggot, cheap, cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're our side, thank God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD chorus.
could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing
"Go Away, Babe," and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Dear listeners, you are still tuned into our show, Consular Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is His Excellency Mr. Jerry Kelly, Consul General, Consulate General of Ireland, in conversation with Vikash Mitter Sen, Honorary Consul of the Republic of Mali.
Welcome to my new radio program. Today we have with us His Excellency Jerry Kelly, Consul General of Ireland. So how long are you going to be here in India? What is your tenure?
3 or 4 years.
Oh, so one year down.
1 year down.
Another two, three more.
Yeah.
4 years. Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Yes.
And so then you go back home or?
We see. That would be the normal pattern for diplomatic postings. You would do one or two overseas and then back. Return home for a few years and get reacclimatized and then go out again.
And bring yourself back to information and knowledge about your own country.
Yes.
Before you take another leap somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's precisely the idea that you don't.
How does your family like it here? Your wife, your kids also, they've grown up enough to take their own calls on whether they like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole family were involved in the decision to return to India.
Yes. Okay.
And we obviously have enough good memories of our time in Delhi that coming to Mumbai was a good option for us. So they like it here. I mean, the kids like the school. My wife has found people here to be very friendly and has made friends and is always busy. So we're settling in quite well.
I have always wondered why, and maybe you have an answer to this, that British ruled us for 300 years and there are so many stories. But why, therefore, yet is it that Indians like Britishers the most?
That's a question for an Indian person to answer.
I'm just voicing my thoughts. And I've thought about this a few times. I've not experienced that side of it.
Yeah, I can't account for that. I just know the Irish experience from independence onwards. We struggled economically for many years.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's only maybe in the last 30 years, 20 years, you've seen a more confident sovereign nation emerge, not just legally, but also maybe mentally and psychologically. So these things take time. Mm. I think we found that our membership of the European Union,
yes,
where we sit as an equal with 27 other EU states.
Okay.
So we have the same voice around the table as Germany or France or the UK. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, really strengthened our sovereignty and really helped us develop a proud, independent confidence in our country. But that didn't happen when the Union Jack went down and the British walked out.
Yes.
It took decades. Dang. And I think the European Union has actually been a real boon in helping us develop as a confident, outward-looking nation. I mean, we're a small island.
Yes.
We can't be inward-looking. We trade with all parts of the world. Our economy, you asked, what's the basis of our economy? It's trade.
Yes.
It's being open. It's dealing with the world, be it attracting tourism, attracting students, attracting industry, and for Irish companies going out to the world and selling our goods, selling our services. I mean, here in India, our trade is growing every year.
I was coming to that.
Yeah.
About the trade relations, the volume of trade, and the growth of trade between the two countries?
Trade's growing every year. And the interesting dynamic is if you talk about merchandise goods, physical goods, sent from one country to the other, India exports far more to Ireland than Ireland does to India.
Oh, that's news to me.
But if you talk about services...
Is the other way around?
It's the other way around.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we always thought that we were the leading exporter of services.
It's maybe 3-1 in terms of Ireland. And I mean, some of these are a quirk of how things are measured. For example, if you go to the airport and get on a flight somewhere in India tomorrow, there is, I think, a 25% chance that the plane you're on is leased through an Irish company.
Okay.
And that appears as a big chunk of change in economic figures. But there is hundreds of people employed in Ireland managing the leasing of planes all over the world. It's one of those little niches where we've developed a sort of global leadership and expertise. Yeah.
I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone as she wheeled her wheelbarrow to streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger and sure was no wonder, for so were her father and mother before, and they wheeled their wheelbarrows through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive. Cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, cockles and mussels, alive,
Access with FM Rainbow. And today's guest with us is His Excellency Mr. Jerry Kelly, Consul General, Consulate General of Ireland, in conversation with Vikash Mitar Sen, Honorary Consul of the Republic of Mali.
Welcome to my new radio program. Today we have with us His Excellency Jerry Kelly, Consul General of Ireland. How are the political relations between India and Ireland and between people to people?
They're very good and growing. I mean, that there's a long history of contact and close relationship in the early days of both our independent nations. Yes. I mean, one of our early leaders, Eamon de Valera, and Prime Minister Nehru were in regular contact, particularly when India was crafting its constitution.
Yes.
So the guiding principles of the Indian constitution are adopted from the Irish constitution.
Oh, this is news to me, and I'm so sure to our listeners.
Yeah, so these are some of the historical links that existed between our two states. And now the Prime Minister of Ireland is half Indian. His father comes from Mumbai. Prime Minister's name is Leo Varadkar. So his father comes from Mumbai, but the family originally come from Varad in southern Maharashtra near the Goa border.
Varadkar.
So obviously that's a significant link.
Yes. And it's, how can it be better than that?
Yes, it's a great story. That's son of an Indian immigrant, that Dr. Varadkar Senior moved to London to work as a doctor in the 60s, 70s, met an Irish nurse there, moved to Ireland, had a family, and the son becomes Prime Minister. Our Prime Minister is one part of a growing Indian community in Ireland. We have 40 to 50,000 Indian people living in Ireland, settled, made their homes.
Yeah.
So it's, and it's a real boon to the community. It helps our cricket team no end.
Okay.
but it's also, we see the infrastructure that a community brings with them.
Yes.
We can now finally get decent Indian food in Ireland, which wasn't previously the case.
Do you get it?
But we find when we are trying to attract Indian businesses, Indian students, the fact that there is a population from their country there already, that's doing well. And living happily is a real endorsement for us, I think.
Perfect. That's, so I have run out of my questions. Is there anything I have missed that you would like to tell our listeners?
Well, I think you're talking about our exports. And one of our big exports around the world has always been our culture. Very much like India, we joke that after the British left us, they left us a language, English, and we turned it into a literature. And India has done likewise. So Irish writers are famous all over the world.
Yes.
And one of the great things since coming to Mumbai is engaging with the literary festival here and bringing Irish writers over, something we hope to do a lot more of. But one of our other big exports is music. And Ireland's biggest musical export is a band called U2.
Oh, yeah.
Are playing here Sunday the 15th of December. So
in
we're
Mumbai?
Very. Yes, in Navi Mumbai in the D.Y. Patel Stadium.
So D.Y. Patel.
We're hoping to. This will be their first ever show in India.
Okay.
They're the biggest live band in the world. They've been touring for 30 years. Ticket sales have passed the $1 billion mark. So we're looking forward to seeing them with 50,000 other people in India. It's going to be a great...
On that one evening.
Yes.
It's going to be... Are you going to be there?
Of course.
You have to.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You'd love to, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. When the sort of musical idols you grew up with turn up and play on your doorstep when you're so far from home, it's fantastic.
Wonderful. So I want to thank you, Your Excellency, Mr. Kelly.
Thank you.
For giving your time to us. I'm sure this is going to be one of the best interviews that we have had till date and maybe into the future. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Dear listeners, thank you for joining us on our show Consular Access with FM Rainbow. This show was produced by Sangeeta Chakravarti and brought to you by All India Radio 107.1 FM Rainbow.
You're not alive until you start kicking when the room is spinning and the words I'm speaking. And the radio's all about a runaway model with a face like sin and a heart like a James Joyce novel. Saying sister, sister, how I missed you, missed you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take the skin off of my blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. But the boys in the better land, you're always talking about the boys in the better land.
boys in a better land. The boys in a better land. Fill two little barrels. He spits out, grits out, only smokes carrots. Now we're refreshing the world in mind, body and spirit. Mind, body and spirit. You better hear it, I'm fearing. Oh, that's the spirit. Saying sister, sister, how I miss you, miss you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take the skin off of my blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in a better land. The boys in a better land.